Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture, with your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection for Thursday, April 26th, 2012. Hold On, the title track from Colin Bernard's new EP called Hold On. And for Colin, recording and putting all this together was a bit of a family affair. His brother Joel was helping out with the songwriting, as well as his wife ended up helping with some harmonies on the background. Colin's on the phone with us from Ottawa tonight to talk about Hold On, his music ministry, and where it's been, where it's going, and what we're going to do. Good evening, Colin.
Hey, good evening, Robert. How are you?
Good. Now, let's go right back to the beginning and get a bit of an idea of where you came from and what you did. When did you start doing music?
Oh, it was really early on. I was like, I grew up listening to bluegrass music from a very, very young age. My mom played the piano. She taught the piano, and my dad played the fiddle. And so if you can imagine it, we were a French-Canadian or French-Acadian family playing bluegrass music. We were singing about the Blue Ridge Mountains and stuff like that, but we had never been there. We had never seen it, but that's what I grew up listening to. And then I started playing with my dad, playing the mandolin, the fiddle, not the fiddle, but the guitar, and then I went on to the dobro guitar. And but because I had a lot of brothers and sisters, we listened to so much different music. We had Elton John. We were listening to David Bowie, just really eclectic mix, and I was influenced by all of that. So at a very young age, I started to sing.
Well, when did you actually begin sort of looking at songwriting?
I think it was, I think probably when I was 16 or 17, I started to experiment with writing myself. My brother was teaching me guitar, and he was telling me, like, he taught me a few chords, and he said, okay, go to your room and practice that. And there was no courses. It was just, you got to learn on your own, right? So he would teach me a few chords, show me how to put my hands and how to strum, and then I'd learn that, come back and say, okay, now that you learned that, go back to your room and write a song. Just write a song. Be any kind of song, but write a song. I don't remember what the song was about, but it was probably really corny. But, but anyway, that's how I started. And, of course, when I was 14, I got saved, and so I was introduced to music in the church and gospel music, and it was a whole new thing for me. So I started from there, I guess.
Well, you sort of, when we were preparing for this, you sent me a little bit of background information. You said one of the challenges you had is that when you started listening to Christian music at the time, you really had no interest in it because it was the sort of the cheesy, popish type stuff that was going on. And I'm thinking era-wise, it's probably the late 70s, early 80s.
Oh, it was rough. It was really rough because I was. This was during the beginning of new wave and punk rock, and that was big in school. And U2 was only just starting out, and I was really listening to that kind of stuff when I got faint. And so to go from that and to listen to what Christian music was producing at the time, it was really rough because there was no depth to it. It was all great lyrics as far as biblical lyrics and worshiping God and singing about. Well, there was nothing there for me as far as a 14-year-old, nothing for me to relate to, really.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think U2 was sort of the first group that came out as Christians in that era, and you were listening to that and you're going, well, you know, this is really good because there was a depth to their musicality as well as their lyrics and things like that. When you were looking at that, were they one of your influences as you started developing both as a Christian and as a musician?
They became my major influence. Some would say to my detriment, because you don't want to sound too much like U2, but you know, I can't help it. I guess I just love their music. I loved it from the very beginning, and so eventually, when I started writing and composing, it started to, you know, manifest itself that way. It would sound a little bit like that. I would model myself after their style.
Now, you said you were listening to punk and new wave and things like that. Was that something that also kind of started creeping into the style of music you were doing?
Not really, but it's something that I liked. I really enjoyed. I loved the beat, the rhythm of punk, and sometimes the you know how the Clash had, sometimes they would have a reggae kind of a beat in there in some of their songs. I really loved that. And of course, now today we have ska music, which is like a post, I guess you call it post-punk or something, but it's something like that. But I wouldn't say that it really influenced my music, but it's definitely something that I really listened to all the time at the time, and maybe it did. I'm not sure.
Now, it did, in terms of that style of music and that, did that kind of, how did you sort of reconcile what you were doing with your family, with the bluegrass, and then, you know, over here you've got the punk, new wave, U2 influences going on. Was there any conflict going on with yourself and what you were doing musically, or did that sort of just all meld together?
Not really. It's kind of funny, actually, because we were living in New Brunswick at the time, and there was not much going on in New Brunswick, and it was pretty, there was no big radio stations, and everything that we would get late. But my brother, one of my other brothers, lived in the Falls, Niagara Falls, and when he came back home for a summer one time, he brought back the War album from U2.
Oh, yes.
And it blew me away. I felt like I had just, I don't know what happened. What is this music? What is that? I think we had the first War album in the city before the radio station. We nobody had that.
Mm-hmm.
We were the first ones to have it. And so when we were listening to that, he had kind of a punk hairstyle, and I just thought it was so cool. It was funny because I was listening to this kind of music, and I was really getting influenced by it, and my dad was, you know, he's used to bluegrass music, and he would always make these faces like, there's too much boom-boom in that music. You know, I don't like that boom-boom, you know, too much drums, in other words, right?
Yeah.
But it was funny. It wasn't really a conflict for me. I just it just came naturally, I guess. I just really adhered to that really easily.
Well, and when you look at some of U2's early albums, Boy, War, and especially their live album that they did at Red Rocks, there was a rawness to what they did, and I sense in some of the stuff that I've heard from Hold On, there's also a rawness to both the lyric quality and the music. In that, so is that, has listening to that type of stuff, you know, kind of been a key influence in you as you've been developing your own musical style?
Very much, especially when I sing live, I can't help it. There is that rawness, and I enjoy that. I love that, and that's the kind of sound that I'd like to achieve someday. Of course, this is our first EP, so we're, you know, it's a little bit more polished than what I would normally have expected, what I would want normally. But I don't know if you remember the Waterboys. Mike Scott from the Waterboys. The guy had a kind of a Bob Dylan voice. It was a raunchy Bob Dylan voice that I really loved. And they were another band that really influenced me a lot. So I think that sound, that raunchy, nothing is, there's some things that are off key, some things are just, they're just not working. I don't know how to explain it, but it's not a polished sound, and I just really enjoy that. I don't when I'm playing live, it's like I'm not even trying. It just happens that way, you know. So I enjoy that.
Well, let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Colin Bernard and talk specifically about some of the challenges and issues he faces as he's writing and doing songwriting. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station. Welcome back. That was Sing a New Song to the Lord from Colin Bernard's EP, Hold On. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM. Getting back, Colin, you were talking about how, you know, sort of the start of your writing was your brother teaching you a few chords and then saying, go in and write a song. But what is, how does the songwriting process work for you as you you begin developing songs?
Well, for me, Robert, it's hard. It doesn't come naturally to write. My brother, Joel, writes the songs. He writes the lyrics. He'll randomly send me an email. And sometimes when I look at it, often when I look at it, I'll just get a melody right away. And it'll fit perfectly. And I might have to do a few adjustments or something, but usually it'll be pretty quick. Other times it's more difficult. It might take a longer time to put music to it. We had a song one time that he gave to me 2 years prior, and it took me literally 2 years of going back to it and then putting it away, going back to it, putting it away. And eventually, 2 years later, bang, something happened. I got a really cool melody for it, and it worked out, you know. So I like the system that we have, but for me, there's no science to it. It's just we're not very disciplined as far as sitting down as musicians, as writers, and taking the time to write a song and to compose. On this album, I have three songs. Three songs that I've written or contributed to, and I struggled with that. It was really hard. But Joel, he'll be sitting there, and all of a sudden, he'll be sitting on the bus. And something comes to him, he'll write about it right away. When he sends it to me, I'll look at it, and again, like I said, I may not strike me right away, but if I look at it a month later, a week later, or 2 weeks later, whatever, I'll get a melody for it, and it'll work out perfectly.
So now, so you're doing predominantly the music end of things. Do you ever work on lyrics yourself?
Yeah, I do. I'm not as poetic as my brother, though. Joel is he's the poet in the family, but I usually will try to plagiarize the Bible. I'll go from like for example, the song that you just heard, singing a new song, was based on Psalm 149, which is a great psalm from David. And when I wrote that, it was hard for me to make it fit, but it still worked out. Usually I'll have to do something like that. I'll just go to the Bible to get inspiration, get a few lyrics that I can fit into a song. But just to be able to sit there and to write from scratch, I just can't do it. It doesn't work for me.
So in terms of coming up with material and things like that, do you often have melodies that just come to your head and you know, connect with your brother and say, hey, I've got this melody, can you come up with a lyric? Do you ever work that way as well?
It happens all the time. I have an iPhone, and if I have a melody that comes to me, you know, I have to find a place where it's quiet so that I can sing into my iPhone, record it, so that I won't forget it, because it's maybe that's a cool melody or something, whatever. But it happens all the time. And then I might be able to record it on my studio downstairs, and then I'll show it to Joel, and or sometimes I won't show it to him at all. I have some songs that he hasn't even heard yet. And I'll go through this bank of songs that he's sent me that I haven't even used yet, and I'll try to fit it into the melody. Mm-hmm. It's kind of it's a strange process.
We talked earlier about some of the influences that you had as a musician. Is there anybody else that has been an influence on you as a songwriter as well?
Bob Dylan has been a big influence for us. I think Bob Dylan is amazing as far as a writer is concerned. He can write a scene in your head, and you can visualize it. He's got such a knack for it. So there's been him. There's been Mark Knopfler from Dire Straits. Mark Knopfler, when he went on his own, has been very, very good at writing songs. Love his stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the main ones, probably. You too, ironically, have not been an influence for me as far as writing the song. It's only their melodies and their style that really affects me.
Now, looking at this, Hold On is your first EP. What was it like getting together with the Cash brothers, Ed and Scott Cash, and putting something like this together?
It's quite a funny story. Well, not funny. It's kind of a strange story for us. I don't know if you know this, Robert, but we recorded two albums in the late 90s, and we self-produced, and it was a major flop. We just, you know, we didn't know what we were doing. We were in the Maritimes. There's no infrastructure out there, and so at the time, we did get some airplay, but very scant, and so it was discouraging afterwards when the album, you know, failed. We didn't do anything with it, and I think we went through 10 or 11 years of just different ups and downs, you know, and finally we came to a point in our lives, Monica and I, my wife, that we accepted that, and we were actually at the point that we were content in our lives. And so occasionally I'd still record, and I'd put stuff on my machine downstairs just to put my thoughts down. And one day Monica had a brainstorm. She says, you know what, why don't you take two or three of your best songs, and just for kicks, let's send it down to some big shot producer in Nashville and see what happens, you know. And so you can imagine, we didn't expect anything to happen. We sent it down to down here's producer, Stephen Dodds,
mm-hmm.
To Ed Cash, and to Matt Cronin, I think, you know, out west. And so we got replies from Stephen Dodds and from Ed Cash. And so when we got Ed Cash's reply, we couldn't believe it. They're both awesome producers. But I mean, Ed Cash produced Chris Tomlin, Carrie Job, Starfield, And he's worked with Vince Gill in the past, and Dolly Parton, all these big names. So for us, it was a big deal, so we were pretty shocked. When we saw that happening, Robert, we saw that as God opening a door. And we didn't know what he was going to do. So what we did is we decided to pray about it. We said, hey, Lord, what are you doing? Are you opening up the door here? What's the scoop? And so we prayed and we prayed. We didn't have the money for that. And I was not going to go into debt for an album. That's not going to happen. You know, we did that before, and it didn't work. And so we reasoned that if this is of God, well, he'll provide the money. And he did. It was the coolest thing. We just waited and waited, and next thing you know, we get an offer. Somebody donated the money, and it was just out of this world. What a feeling. So when Cash agreed to produce us, they also signed a publishing deal for that song, Hold On. So that was even more than we expected. So we only had enough money to do six songs, so we figured we'll do an EP, we'll start with that. Working with those guys was just out of this world because they were so humble, and I didn't expect that. I figured they'd be, you know, Christian or not, I figured they'd be a little bit arrogant or big shots or whatever, right? But they were not at all like that. They were so personable, and they were so kind and humble and easy to work with, and it just blew me away. Yeah.
Well, then it's an amazing story. And I got to take another break here. But when we come back, we're going to finish up our conversation with Colin Bernard. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station. Welcome back. That was Carry Me from Colin Bernard's EP, Hold On. You're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to finish up our interview with Colin Bernard. Colin, you were talking just before an amazing story about how this whole thing came together with yourself and Ed and Scott Cash. And just wondering, is looking back at the EP and that now, is there anything you wish you had done a little differently with it?
No, actually, Robert, we're so happy with the way things turned out. I don't think I would change anything. I mean, Ed and his brother Scott both produced the album. They did such a great job. And what we did differently this time that we did not do in the 90s is that we came to the conclusion that, look, my talent is singing. I sing. That's what I do. I write and I compose music. That's what I do. But the Cash brothers, they produce. That's their job, and they're good at it. So why would I want to try to reinvent the wheel? I don't have the desire. I know that there's always somebody that's better than you. That's always going to happen. And these guys blew me away. They were so talented. In fact, he just won Producer of the Year again. I think it's the third year that he wins it. So I think this year, what we did is we decided to let the experts take care of it. Instead of us trying to reinvent the wheel, try to figure it out, let the expert do it. That's what they do for a living, and they're good at. Pay the money. It's worth it. And you get such a quality album, and I don't know. I just I think we're going to continue doing it that way. I hope that we get a chance to work with them again in the future.
So what's been the response to the album?
It's been fantastic. Unexpected in a sense, because not unexpected because it's such a good quality album, but unexpected for us because we didn't see us in this position, you know, 4 months after releasing the album. It went to number one in Ottawa on their top 20 here for 3 weeks in a row. That's never even happened before for any local artist to be number one at least 1 week, but we were there for 3 weeks. So it also went to number one on the CanCon singles nationally. Again, that we didn't expect. We're still on that CanCon list, but as far as comments from people, we've been getting comments literally from other countries as well, like literally all over the world. People sending us emails from Germany, from England, from Thailand, wherever, asking us about more information, telling us how this song has inspired them, and thank you for this, thank you for that. It's really all amazing. We didn't expect any of this to happen.
Well, we're just quickly running out of time. You mentioned about people calling you now, about getting information on you. Where can people get more information about Colin Bernard and or get a copy of the CD?
Well, we're on Facebook, and we have our own website. It's at colinbernard.com. Simply that, colinbernard.com. Colin with one L. And at Facebook, it's Colin Bernard Music. You can buy the CDs on iTunes or on CD Baby, or if you want a hard copy, an actual copy, you can go through Salem Storehouse here in Ottawa. They have a website you can order online. They're very, very fast.
Great. Colin, thanks very much for your time tonight.
Robert, thank you. I appreciate it.
And thank you for listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM. Thanking my guest, Colin Bernard, and stay tuned next week for another time where you can hear where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. I'm your host, Robert White, saying good night and God bless. For more information on Arts Connection, email robert@selawministries, that's S-E-L-A-W ministries.ca, or follow us on Twitter at selaw13, S-E-L-A-W-13. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.
You've been listening to Arts Connection, a production of Selav Ministries. Be sure to tune in again next Thursday evening at 10, right here on Faith FM.